He just did thumbs up, thumbs down. He stays on the line right now to continue to chat. Bob McGill from Leafs TV. How are you, Bob?
I'm well, Eric. Trying to stay cool today. It's been, gotta love this heat, man. I love it.
It's nice as long as you're not. I know you're an avid golfer, or at least you hit the ball well, unlike me. But would you actually want to be out there today, though?
Actually, yesterday afternoon on my way home from the cottage, the bride and I stopped and played nine holes, and at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it was pretty hot, but it was good.
Okay, that's the time to do it though. At five, you're not heading out there at like noon or something.
No.
I was talking to Jay Triano yesterday, and he was saying that he played in Phoenix, I think, at some point last year. And by the way, folks, before you get all freaked out, it wasn't during the NBA season, so don't go all mental about that. But he was saying he played in Phoenix when it was something like 120 degrees Fahrenheit with the humidity and everything else. And the way they did it down there is at each hole, there was like, you know, somebody working there that had cold towels that you could put on your head while you waited to take your shot. And then you go up, take your shot, get back in the cart, another cold towel on your head. That's the way to do it.
Oh, for sure. When I coached down in Louisiana in the East Coast Hockey League, you'd go back at the middle of August, the kids would start back into school. And when you play golf down there, they had towels, like piles of towels on the cart. And I mean, you could literally wear three or four shirts during the round of golf because you'd be sweating so bad. It was unbelievable. But you know what? Any day on the golf course is better than sitting in the office somewhere.
No doubt about that, and that's where I'm stuck right now. So you're kind of rubbing salt in the wounds right now. And I just quickly mentioned, Bob, for our World Cup fans out there, Uruguay has just scored right now to tie the game against Netherlands in the first half. So we'll keep folks updated on that. Bob, it was close to this time yesterday, around 4:30-ish, that the news first came out regarding the unfortunate passing of Bob Probert. And I mentioned earlier, I can't imagine what the family's going through as well, and that the fact that he passed away right in front of his wife and children out on a boat, that's just terrible. But do you have a memory or two that you can share with us? I mean, I know you had a lot of battles with Bob over the course of time, especially in the Norris Division days. But you know, do a few stories come to mind about your interactions, pro and con, with Bob Probert?
Oh, sure. First and foremost, obviously, my condolences to his family and friends. Scary thing at 45 years of age, unbelievable. But back in the days of the old Chuck Norris Division, no question, when he first came into the league, there was a brawl at Maple Leaf Gardens one night, and lo and behold, who do I get to dance partner with for five straight minutes? It's Bob Probert. It wasn't that fun. And at the end of it, he actually headbutted me, and he ended up getting a four-game suspension for that. So the next time we play Detroit is in Detroit, and you know, of course, I have to redeem myself and have to fight this guy who's just a monster. And hold my own, or at least survive the day. And we actually stayed overnight after the game that night because we were going somewhere else the next day. So we were going out for a couple of pops after the game. And Chris Katsopoulos and myself were standing around waiting to see, you know, how we were going to get a lift. And Todd Gill says, "Oh," I says, "I got a ride first. No problem. We'll be right back." Comes around the corner with who else? Bob Probert. And, "Hey, Bob, how's it going?" I jump in the back seat of his car, and he drops us off, and thanks very much. And needless to say, I probably had four or five more tussles after that. But I ended up going to Detroit in 92 at the trade deadline. After leaving Chicago, I went to San Jose in the expansion draft, and I got traded to Detroit at the deadline. And it was a pretty surreal feeling walking into that Red Wings dressing room, knowing that for 10 years, six in Toronto and four in Chicago, that they hated my guts. But the first guy to meet me at the door when I came in the door was Bob Probert. So it was a pretty cool feeling. So we had that mutual respect, obviously, for each other. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where, to me, he was, I don't care what era you go to, I'd put him up against anybody in NHL history when it comes to fighting. To me, I think he's the guy that always will and always did carry the belt.
Bob, I want to talk about Probert here in a second as well, but I'm looking at things just more sort of, you know, generally speaking. When it comes to two guys squaring off as you did against Probert so many times and other guys so many times, how much of it is trying to simply just fire up your team or light a fire under a certain guy or the coach sending you out there, and how much of it is, I truly dislike the guy and I want to kick his ass? Because even just what you're saying there, how the mutual respect is, you didn't really dislike the guy or hate the guy. You just knew that was your role. But I mean,
sure.
You're fighting a guy.
Well, I think, as far as he was concerned, it was one of those situations where you're trying to fire your team up and you look around down the bench and the Red Wings are kicking our butts, and it's like, geez, I got to do something to spark our team. And Yeah, you know, it's, when he's 6'3", 225, and I'm 6'1", 190, there's a little bit of discrepancy in size there. So you can't hate his guts and try and kick his butt, because you're just going to go out there and try and hold your arm and don't embarrass yourself, essentially. So, but, you know, there's certain guys you had a real dislike for, and, you know, you wouldn't, you know, be buddy buddies with them. But, you know, I think that anybody that I ever fought with, you know, if I saw them on the street somewhere or you ran into them somewhere, you'd say, hey, how's it going, whatever, and chat a little bit. But I think there was certain guys throughout the history of the game that really had dislike for other players. And I know Al Secord, for one, him and I battled a lot back and forth, and we ended up being traded for each other. He was the kind of guy where players, when I went to Chicago, said that if you were walking down the street and he saw you coming, he'd go to the other side of the street because he wouldn't want to talk to you. And that was kind of a different thing, but we played together at the end of his career and became a little bit close, I guess. But
we're speaking with Bob McGill, former NHLer and, of course, broadcaster with Leafs TV as well. Bob, what kind of a person, at least as far as you were concerned, was Bob Probert? Because those that are the casual fans, they know him as the tough guy. They know him as maybe the ultimate enforcer in history. They also know the stories off the ice and battling with drug abuse and whatnot. But from your perspective, what kind of a person was he?
He was a great guy. I mean, he was like a big teddy bear, and you know, he sort of, when he strapped his skates on and put his helmet and stuff on, his persona changed. And you know, it's funny because you have kids, you try to teach that to young hockey players that, you know, if you're the greatest guy in the world, you want him to be at least physical out on the ice and take the body. You got to say, when you take your clothes off, you have to take that personality off and put it in the locker. And that's what Bob Probert was like. Off the ice, real laid back, easygoing guy, obviously would do anything for anybody. And, you know, as you know, I've listened through the course of yesterday and today on your station that, you know, different things. I'm supposed to be playing in a golf tournament up in Barrie tomorrow for the Easter Seal Society with Bob Probert tomorrow. And obviously that's not going to happen. So that just goes to show you the kind of guy that he is, where he goes anywhere and everywhere to try and help where he can.
It probably doesn't matter, Bob, but I'm going to ask you anyways. For you, Bob Probert, you know, is he more known, or when you close your eyes and think of him, is he in a Blackhawk jersey or a Red Wings jersey?
Well, for me, Red Wings. I never played against him when he played for the Hawks, and you know, he was past his prime as far as being you know, the number one heavyweight in the league, no question. When he was in Detroit, you know, before he went to Chicago, that's where he was the biggest and baddest. And in Chicago, his role, you know, as you get on, you don't have to do it as much or don't want to do it as much. And to me, I think of him as a Red Wing through and through for all the times that I had to face up against him, no question.
Is there anybody you can think that you've battled with over the course of your career that would come close to being as tough or as nasty as Probert, or is he that much far ahead, further ahead, in terms of just what you had to deal with?
Well, you know, I mean, just, I don't know. I mean, to me, I mean, I look at Wendell Clark, or you look at Ty Domi, you know, just the, you know, Marty McSorley, those types of guys that were, you know, guys that did it for longevity of their career and throughout their career. You know, I mean, it's something that it's not an easy job to do. Lots of sleepless days. And I'll tell you, the days when we played the Red Wings, I didn't sleep too soundly in the afternoon for my nap.
And you got to make sure you keep the ice ready for the knuckles after the game as well. Hey, Bob, really appreciate the time today. Thanks for doing this and try to have a good time tomorrow at the golf tournament. I'm sure it's going to be a sort of bittersweet in some senses.
Yeah, well, and certainly, again, condolences to his family, and thanks for having me on.